From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, will be bringing a message from the Word of God. As he continues these studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, Christ, the Light of the World. We'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ shines as God's witness in this sin-darkened world, and that He is the light that dispels the darkness. First of all, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reveals a cover-up in the trial of murderers of Turkish Christians.
A few months ago here in Let the Bible Speak, we reported on the murder of some Turkish Christians. Currently, the Turkish authorities are conducting a trial of the killers, but the trial seems to be as much of a whitewash aimed at protecting the godfathers of the movement to persecute Christians as it is a trial of the actual perpetrators. Indeed, the prosecutors are determined to lay blame on the Christians who were killed for having provoked their killers by their Christian witness. Recently, the Alliance of Protestant Churches in Turkey sent out an email with details of the trial to bring the Christian world up to date. And I thought a digest of its statements would be good for our Let the Bible Speak audience. So I have this prolonged quotation from the Alliance of Protestant Churches in Turkey. As you will sadly recall, back in April 2007, we all lived through the shock and sadness of the brutal murder of three of our brothers in Christ in the city of Malatya. At the time, in the confusion and shock of the moment, various reports went out, and we, as the Alliance of Protestant Churches countrywide, sent out a request to wait for the official autopsy and police reports to become available in order to understand exactly what had happened. Unfortunately, these reports couldn't be obtained until recently, as the state prosecutor had declared secrecy over all the evidence while the investigation was underway. With the recent commencement of the trial of the murderers, the files were finally released to the lawyers, and we are thus now able to give you a summary of the facts as recorded in the official documents. The current situation. The first court hearing was held on the 23rd of November 2007 at Malatya 3rd Criminal Court. The public prosecutor has opened the case against the five perpetrators, demanding life sentences three times over for the triple murders. These five young men, aged 19 to 20, are in custody. A further two, not being held, are charged with aiding and abetting a terrorist organization. Due to the planned manner in which the killings took place, the five murderers have been charged by the public prosecutor with setting up a terror organization. The families of our murdered brothers are being represented by more than 20 lawyers. You may well ask, why so many lawyers? These people are some of the top lawyers in the country on human rights and criminal law. They're not Christians, but for the first time, we as Christians have people who are standing with us voluntarily in a major way against what they see as gross injustice. They also have massive lobbying and PR impact for the believers in Turkey. We could never have gathered these people together ourselves, let alone afford them, even if we had tried. Their involvement has turned out to be vitally important for the case and overall. The investigation and accusations brought forward and the approach of the public prosecutor's office appears to show that the authorities want to wrap this case up quickly as a one-off murder case by a group of young men who were, quote, probably provoked by those killed through unsavory missionary activity and insulting Islam and national values. Close the quote. As the perpetrators were caught literally red-handed, the case cannot be allowed to go unsolved. However, as numerous editorials in the national media have commented since the trial hearing, there's obviously a cover-up effort in place, since there are many issues related to the accused that have not been investigated properly, which may reveal their connections with others. In conducting a vague investigation and by passing sentence promptly on the five hands that wielded the knives, the need to probe deeper to identify and prosecute the actual provocateurs behind them would be avoided. Why such a cover-up, you may ask? First, as one daily paper defines it, many Turks are convinced that a phenomenon called the Deep State, a network of state agents or ex-officials, possibly with links to organized crime, periodically targets reformists and what they deem perceived enemies of the state in the name of nationalism. Second, the whole event and trial is an embarrassment to the government and the image of Turkey. As churches, our prayers and desires are as follows. 1. To see justice carried out and due punishment imposed in order to act as a deterrent for any possible future plots. 2. For the authorities to seek out and prosecute the brains and hands behind these and similar young men whose lives are being ruined by these acts of hate. 3. To protect the name of our murdered brothers and other Christians in this land against lies and mudslinging done against them. Finally, we hope the exposure and prosecution of the mentality and powers behind the murders will help to minimize irresponsible reporting and the perpetration of disinformation by the media and authorities. While the above reflect the outworking of justice in this tragedy, we do very much request your prayers for the church in Turkey, and particularly for the dear families of our murdered brothers, who, due to this ongoing trial, are not able to bring closure to their deep loss. We do commend the Turkish brethren and the families of the murdered men to you for prayer constantly before the throne of grace.
If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Going to get themselves worked up into a frenzy over the upcoming elections, and I'm not here to talk politics, and I'm not here to insinuate that it doesn't matter who gets elected in the short term, it may. But you know, people get themselves all worked up into a frenzy because they see the utter hopelessness. Did you ever notice when you put all your eggs in the political basket and your candidates have all got elected? And your party's all done very well. But 5 or 10 years later, they're just as hopeless as ever. It's not a call to disengage. It's a call to say, essentially, whatever temporary adjustments may be made in human affairs, the souls of men are engulfed in a darkness of hopelessness. Some years ago, one of our ministers was asked to do a funeral in Belfast. The young man who died had been a terrorist, and he had died a terrorist death. He was a godless, wicked, vile, filthy, murderous man, the scum of the earth, as men would call him, and rightly so. His whole family was wicked, godless, and Christ-hating, and yet for some reason they wanted a Free Presbyterian minister to come conduct the funeral. Possibly they thought that the other ministers may be too respectable to have anything to do with them. My friend went in there and he could hardly read the scriptures. He could hardly get time to pray. Why? Because of the shrieking and the howling and the bitter wailing and the lamentation and the cursing of God and the blaspheming of Christ, making the air blue with blasphemy. he remarked, and I've often thought, how hopeless is the life, and even more hopeless the death, and yet more hopeless still the eternity of the man or the woman without Christ. And yet into that very hopelessness shines the light of hope. I've talked about a terrorist dying and his family engulfed in hopelessness. Just around the corner lived another family. Terrorist, drunken, vile, immoral. The father in that family, now in his 60s, one of the hardest, filthiest sinners in the city of Belfast. And that's a city of hardened, filthy sinners. Another friend of mine, a minister, went up and he visited him in the hospital. And he opened up the scripture to him. And he pointed him to Christ. And into the darkness of that hopeless life and that hopeless home, with children who had grown up to be wrecked and ruined by their father's sin, brought to the edge of damnation, there arose light and hope. He was transformed. I met one of his sons, and he was transformed, and his wife transformed, and their home transformed, and now made a basis for getting out the gospel to as many others as they could. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the light of the world who brings hope. So why then is he so much despised and rejected? It's because as the light he exposes the hidden things of darkness. You see that in the case of the woman taken in adultery. Why did they all slink out from the eldest down to the youngest? I don't think it's simply that there was some code of honor that the young were letting the old walk out first. The oldest had the most time to commit the most sin, and they were convicted and moved out. But as the Lord Jesus wrote in the dust, and then as his voice probed their conscience, the light shone in and it exposed the darkness. You know, the only people who have not much conscience of sin are people who are living either in total alienation from Christ or are professing Christians who are so backslidden that they're not living in close proximity to Christ. But I want to tell you, it's impossible to be in the presence of the light of the world without that light exposing the hidden things of darkness to penetrate to the depths of your heart. As light, he causes a fundamental division here on the earth. What was the first thing that light did in Genesis 1? Well, it separated off the darkness so that you had day and you had night. Light divides the day from the night. The Lord Jesus is the great divider of men. You go through the 7th chapter and you'll find it here again. And if you go on through John, you'll find much evidence of it. He is the great divider of men. In verse 30, we read of some who believed on him. Many believed on him. In verse 45 and 48, however, he says, "Ye believe me not." They said, "Said we not, well, you're a Samaritan and you have a devil?" So you'll see the great division surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the divider of men. You know, at the end of the day, the division is not between East and West, black and white, rich and poor. The division is whether you're in Christ or whether you're out of Christ. Whether you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, or whether you don't and are lost. Christ is the divider of men. I want you to understand this morning. I stand in this pulpit, I see a number of people. I see their faces and their bodies. I see their outward appearance. I can come to some conclusion about their demeanor. But I can't see your heart. I can't see the dark, hidden recesses of the soul. I can't see your attitude to Christ. But God can. Through this meeting, therefore, as through all the earth, there is a crimson line of division. And God places every one of us on one side or the other. Christ is the great divider of men. What think ye of Christ? What then will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Where do you fall in this great division? And let me close by saying this. As the light, he dispels the darkness. And thank God he sets men free. The darkness does not comprehend or overcome the light. As we have often been reminded here, we know the end of Earth's story. We know the end. The light conquers the darkness. But isn't that the testimony of every Christian? I was dark. But Jesus found me. He shone the light of His glorious grace within to bring us out of the kingdom of darkness into His own gracious and glorious kingdom, to deliver us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of Christ. He is the light of the world. And I say to you this morning, that in Him all is light, but outside of Him all is darkness. I haven't time to follow up on that statement, but it is a profound statement. You know, you can go to your Harvards and your Yales and your Browns and all your other great seats of learning. You can listen to the professors with all their PhDs and all their accumulated knowledge and all their accumulation of fact. Remember, there is a significant and fundamental distinction between fact and truth. And over it all, you can write darkness. You can go to the great churches of the land with all their pomp and their pageantry and their religious rites and symbols. And over it all, you can write darkness. Out of Christ, there's darkness. And then there is outer darkness. The darkness of an everlasting hell. But in Him, there's light, there's life, there's liberty, there's the love of God leading to everlasting glory. For He says that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now the light has shone, and it will have a response. What the response should be is, we should follow Him who is the light. It doesn't mean to imitate Him. It means to believe in Him. It means to trust Him. It means to obey Him by faith. That faith that worketh by love. That should be the response. And the promise is, you'll not walk in darkness, the darkness of gross sin. If you're here this morning and you're defeated by gross sin, you're in chains and bondage to great sin, I want to tell you, the Son can set you free. You follow Christ, you will not walk in the darkness of gross sin. Nor will you walk in the darkness of damning ignorance. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Men and women today, here's God's promise to all who walk in the light, as He is in the light. May God give you today a sight of Him who said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.